The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on group chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
All right, it's Happy Mother's Day weekend. And what better way to celebrate than with moms and with some bad behind moms? I'm not going to use the other word. But we're going to ask, what is the journey of motherhood and what does that look like on group chat? We're going to do State of the Scroll. We'll cover some cool topics, especially Rihanna, who happens to be my husband's crush, the only crush I allow him to have, and a bomb mom as well. And we have some amazing guests that are going to take us through the journey of motherhood and to help us answer that question on group chat. Welcome to Group Chat. I'm Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and as you can see, I'm kind of a little, like, partially solo here at the top. I mean, I always got Charles. Hey, Charles.
What's going on?
What's going on? We're missing Bentley today. Bentley is a little bit hoarse in her throat, so we're going to give...
Between hoarse and being gone out of the country.
And gone out of the country. So, you know... Shout out to Bentley for being on vacation with her horse throat, but we living it up here for group chat. And of course, I got my teammate Charles here, Uncle Charles in the house.
I'm always here. I'm always going to be here, no matter what, unless something catastrophic happens. I'm here.
I know Charles is our anchor. Everyone just loves Charles's voice. As soon as it's like Charles, as soon as we come on, everyone's like, okay, we don't care about you two. We're waiting for Charles to come on.
I told you, my one friend, he loves when y'all do the whole, oh my God, Charles.
Oh my God, Charles. It's a lion.
they love that, you know. So I've learned that that is kind of like my calling. I said that we should do a drop.
We need to do a drop. It needs to happen. I think everybody needs to go into the chat and everyone needs to like and subscribe. And then when they
make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Drop the comment. That we want to be able to make the Lion King drop for Charles. That is going to happen. And Charles is keeping us up to date on State of the Scroll. So what's popping off, Charles?
This State of the Scroll is going to be very interesting because a lot's been going on, but I want to focus in on a person that we love to talk about.
Oh, gosh. It's between Drake or Stephen A. Smith.
It's more... I don't want to talk about Drake because next week is all about Iceman and I don't really care for that album.
I mean, I'm still confused on why it's Iceman in spring, but, you know, that's a whole nother... Flower Man, I would have took anything.
It's a new gimmick for him.
I need him to gimmick and give up on Kendrick Lamar. That's what I need him to do.
Well, we all know... What will happen if he did decide to go at KDOT? But no, we're talking about Stephen A. Smith, Brick, as y'all like to refer to him as.
From General Hospital, because yes. People don't know he's on General Hospital.
Brick.
Bentley actually loves Stephen A. Smith's acting on General Hospital.
She got you to like him.
He was better than I thought he would be.
She got you to like him. I remember when we FaceTimed, I FaceTimed you about this and said, because I thought you was going to be on my side with this.
He shocked me.
I thought you were going to be on my side. I literally sat there and was like, you know what? Naila going to rock with me because we both don't like him. Yo, dad from Queens.
Oh, yeah. Can't stand him.
Can't stand him. So I'm thinking like, we got this. Nope.
For a soap opera, Stephen A. I mean, he's not the worst I've seen. But I'd rather watch him on General Hospital than on First Take. First Take, my blood boils.
Okay, so if your blood boils over First Take, then you haven't seen the Stephen A. Smith show on YouTube or on Sirius XM.
I stay away from anything that's Stephen A. by himself.
Or his straight shooter, which is the political realm that he's in.
Trying to run for president. We stopped that though, right? He gave that up.
I think so, but he keeps teasing it. Like even though he says, "Nah, I don't want to be a part of it," he still hints on it. Just like how there's situations that's happened recently where people ask, like, why are we still talking about this? Like, a few weeks ago, he was on Logan Paul's podcast. And,
well, that's, say less, Logan Paul.
Right, but Logan Paul brings up the whole LeBron situation when LeBron confronted him.
As he should have. At
the game after Stephen A. said what he said about his kid, about Bronny. And he's like, oh, I felt like, you know, that was, I felt like he shouldn't have did that. That was wrong. Like, I didn't do nothing wrong. But I'm like, you did, because you literally said, as a father, once you say as a father, not as a teammate.
Yeah,
you
he's said totally out of line. Father. And it takes it out completely of what he's there for in terms of sports commentary.
Like I've said, I've followed Stephen A for a majority of his career. So when I talk about him, when I'm on my stories and I'm ranting about him so much, it's because he was someone that I looked towards. Like, he was like, oh, that's my guy. Like, he's what I would want to inspire to be in this space. But then he, like, switched up. And he's always saying, like, oh, I didn't switch up. And I'm like, yeah, you did. I can pinpoint and tell you exactly when you switched up.
Oh, yeah, more money, more.
You know, no, this was even before he got the contract. You know, this is back when Skip was still there. This was the whole Ray Rice situation.
Oh, yeah, that's you know, that goes way back.
Yeah. So once he did that, that's when the flip happened. That's where he started to become this figure that we see now, between him doing the nonsense with the political stuff. Like, I still can't get over the fact that during the ball, the dinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how he was present. He was there. And they asked him about it. And it's just how he came off. He tried to be so calm, cool, and collective about it. But then on his show, he's talking about how he was scared. Like, it was scary. It was a scary scene. But you trying to portray yourself to be this smooth person, but it's like,
well, he was acting like he was G.I. Joe. That's well, see, that's his acting. See, I'm telling you, maybe his acting is not that bad.
Listen, he's very,
he's toxic. I mean, I never cared for him because he was always too loud, but I couldn't stand Skip either, so they equally, I just wasn't watching either one of them. But the opinions he has right now, I just can't take it.
But what I will continue to say about Skip is Skip is true to who he is.
That's true. He's very consistent.
He's never switched up. He's never said, he's never backtracked on anything. He's been true to who he is. And I think that's why a lot of people are against Stephen A, because this is, you're not being what we thought you were.
Yeah.
But as most people say, you can tell who a person really is when they get money.
Yeah, because he seems like he did a total just flip. Mm-hmm. Like he did a pivot in a way that I don't even know how he's not canceled. I mean, between the language that he says to women on the show,
which I'm surprised he hasn't acknowledged that yet.
I mean, at some point, it's like, when are you going to take accountability for your actions? How he talks about black women is egregious and has been for years. But now it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's mainstream. But if he's still getting the contracts he's getting and ESPN's going to keep him on.
Because they know that they can get him to do whatever. You know, oh, we need you to, If they want to push a narrative, they get Stephen A to do it, because he's done it.
Do you think that with all of these mergers that are happening, that at some point he becomes like the really like the main figure of ESPN because he tends to lean right?
No. Because at the end of the day, they still have Pat McAfee.
That's true.
At the end of the day,
nobody's getting rid of Pat.
As much as he wants to be that, Pat McAfee is that. And that's why there's this tension between the two. because Pat's not competing for it, but Stephen A is wanting to get in that position where Pat is.
And he's also trying to push all these different shows out, and he's trying to, I feel like he's trying to create all of this extra controversy outside of what he's known for, because it's giving him that notoriety to probably to be able to compete with Pat. But Pat is consistent, like you said, with Skip to himself.
Yeah. So it's just, I'm just tired of him.
He doesn't go away. He's like Tucker Carlson. It's like, you're just like, you're still there. Like, you flip the script. It's still there.
He doesn't. But to go on to another subject matter, and this is kind of going to be the segue into when we get into our conversation, because this is the week of Mother's Day.
Woohoo!
And as everyone knows, Nyla is expecting.
Oh yeah, as everybody can see when they watch on YouTube, like, comment, yeah, subscribe, as Charles tells everybody.
Yes. So a couple weeks ago, Rihanna had a photo shoot that...
So cute.
Listen.
My husband has a crush on Rihanna, too. Like, he's like, that's like the only crush I let him have.
I love Rihanna, like, as a person.
Yeah.
Because it's just how she's very humble. She's very down to earth. She loves her fans. She's very, as we talked about earlier in a previous episode, she's a little too...
Yeah, we decided she needed to shut it down after we had that crazy fan.
Yeah, she's a little too comfortable with her fan base. But that's why people love her so much, because she has that access.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she allows that access. But during this photo shoot, she had her baby Rocky was in the photo shoot, and everybody clamoring and fell in love with that. And it just made me think about, just obviously, you know, we're in Mother's Day. I love you, Mom.
That's it. So all the moms, multiple times, as someone who is currently pregnant and having to deal with all the symptoms of motherhood and soon to be labor.
Yes. So
say thank you, Mom, a lot.
Listen,
every day.
I am beyond thankful for the mother that I have. I consider her to be the foundation, the root in my tree of life, as I like to refer to her as. I'm not who I am if not for her. So I also wanted to kind of, as we are doing the State of the Scroll, it's a little different, obviously, because we're focusing on mothers this week. And we're going to dive more into it with our guest. But how's the pregnancy been for you?
Oh, well, I feel like Rihanna made her pregnancy look easy, because, you know, she can pick and choose when she comes out in the public eye. It's been beautiful, but it's also a reminder. It's the second, you know, pregnancy that I'm having, with a 10-year age gap, mm-hmm, between this one and Noah. And then I don't even like to use the word stepmom. I'm a right. mom to two other children, too. So 11, 10, and 8. And... Yeah. Having a child older is very different on the body. Like, I remember having Noah, I think I got sick like maybe twice. Mm-hmm. I was ripping one. I mean, I danced until like the last 2 weeks, but before I delivered this one, when I say is wearing me out, wearing me out. He's, you know, measuring big. I'm grateful he's super healthy, but it's been a number on my body. It's made me appreciate it more. It's not like you forget pregnancy and your symptoms once you have a baby, but, you know, kind of reflecting on it more as someone that's older, more mature, can really understand what the body's doing. Because mm-hmm. When you're in your early 20s, you're kind of just like rocking out, you know, just living your best life. Like, I'm pregnant, I'm so cute, you know. When you're older, you have different responsibilities, and mm-hmm. you already have kids.
Right.
So that's a whole different level of, like, raising kids while you're pregnant is, you know, that's a beast there. But I'm super grateful, and I have an amazing team that's really helped me, you know, help me get through. So we're almost there, 4th of July due date.
Yeah.
He's currently measuring a month ahead of schedule, so...
I got June 19th.
June 19th.
Yes. When Bentley comes back, we can get Bentley's prediction.
Yeah, I think Bentley will probably go more on the latter end.
You know, our guests, we can, when our guests get in here, we can ask the guests too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dr. Sosa, you know? and Shayna, they definitely, the two of them will definitely know when we meet them.
We can go to break. And then when we come back, we will have our guest. Stay tuned. This is Group Chat. But before anything else, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. We'll be right back.
Public Media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is Public Media. Visit btpm.org.
Welcome back to Group Chat. We just finished our State of the Scroll, and it's Mother's Day weekend coming up. And we got two amazing guests here that we're going to go through the journey of motherhood here today, as in, you know, the short time frame that we have. So obviously I'm a mom already, but another mom to be soon. And I have Dr. Sosa here. Hey, Dr. Sosa.
Hi, Naila.
And I have Shayna Rudden here as well from our mommy village, Village Legacy. And she's actually my doula as well. And Dr. Sosa, I was trying to get Dr. Sosa as my OB for my baby, but she is, you know, onto big and great things in the hospital, being medical director and all the things and surgeries as well. But she delivered my niece Nadia, yeah, who was trying to come out a month early and have my sister-in-law in the hospital for
her. Oh, no. Oh.
Literally. So I'm so excited to have you both here. And, you know, we were talking about, like, what are we going to talk about for Mother's Day? And there's so much that we can go into it. And, you know, there's a part of it that, you know, you have people that are biological mothers and have children. And then you have mothers that, you know, don't have children biologically, but they, you know, they bring in and a village, you know, if you will, of motherhood. So we're going to kind of dive into all the things that our moms, and you both are moms as well, teenagers. I have middle schoolers. Ooh. Dr. Sosa.
Middle schooler.
Oh, yeah. So we know, you know, we're out the cute phase. I'll be back in it for a second. Yeah. But so I wanted to, both of you can share a little bit about what is it like to bring life in, you know, and not maybe as a mom, but also like as your jobs, as your careers. What is that like?
Well, for me, it allows for me to kind of recenter myself. When it was me, I was able to kind of lock in and have my babies the way I wanted, especially my last one. It was really kind of like getting real clear on what I was about to do. It was a marathon for sure. But when it's mothers, it allows for me to reset myself again, but also connect to that mom and what she will need from the time that I'm there until the time the baby is born. And there's really nothing that describes it, because it's just beautiful. Like, it's beautiful. Like, to see a mother go through such, it's uncomfortable, but it's also a triumph for her, doing something that she didn't expect to do. And then watching her be born as a mother and watch this baby be born too. Then they just fall in love with each other. It's really very sweet. Yeah. Obsessed with each other for months, just snuggled up. It's really actually great. I don't get over it. Like, at all. Like, I never get over it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's hard to describe. I would say, as, you know, someone who delivers babies from time to time now.
It's a hard job, by the way. The yeah, hours are crazy.
Yeah, but it doesn't get old, really. Like, each birth is so beautiful. Like Shayna said, you to see that woman go from anguish, pain, to just pure joy, and the love that room is filled with, I will say, you know, honestly, there have been times I still tear up a little bit to see it. And especially moms, you know, in pregnancy, you really get to know women very well. I don't know if any other specialty gets to do that. Even within, for me, within OBGYN, pregnant patients are the ones you get to see monthly, every 2 weeks, weekly, that you really have a close bond afterwards. And for a first-time mom to see someone who's totally unaware of what this would look like, and then to see her come into her own and really just take on that role of I'm responsible for this human, you know, I'm planning this person's life, I am taking care of them, making sure they grow up well in this world. It is a beauty to see. And when I get to do it multiple times with the moms, you know, I've, you know, been with them for each pregnancy and to see them change along the way and how they move into life. As you said, you know, you have other kids while being pregnant too. It's glorious and joyous. And it's amazing what women could do. Really.
It's true. I mean, every day I'm like, I could do this. I just I could do hard things. I'm just walking up the steps, breathing hard. I was telling them
that. Like, it's not always joyful. It could be painful. It could be life-threatening. You know, there's certainly, you know, with some dangers to pregnancy, as we're well aware of. But the fact that we bear that, I don't want to say burden, but we bear that task of holding life in us and sort of ushering that life into this realm, men don't get to that. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Now I'm going to be a little messy because that's like the nice, beautiful part of it. But we all need patience. How do y'all find patience with raising children? Mine is limited at certain times. I recognize that, especially being pregnant. Like, at some points, like, my kids just look at me and they're like, okay, she on one today. I'm just going to go. How do you find that balance of finding patience? Because you're raising human beings. And I think that sometimes moms tend to get the brunt of, like, all the attitudes. Mm-hmm. Like, dads is a little different. I feel like, you know, and maybe, you know, generalizing a little bit with gender, but you know, a lot of times people are a little afraid of the dad. Like, you know, so it's like dad says something once and it's like, okay. But moms, it's like, if I tell you one more time, like I literally did that this morning. I was like, how many times do I have to tell you to do the same thing? How do y'all find your patience from the beauty that y'all just talked about?
Woo.
Charles is laughing.
I have teenagers at home and the beauty is knowing that we're pretty much starting over. Like like in the beginning, we knew. Like we, you know, you can't do that, Naila. I have a Naila too.
And Noah.
And a Noah too. I have a Naila and a Noah at home. But telling them not to do something, you know, because it's for their own good and they have a temper tantrum when they're two, it's the same when they're 15. And I'm trying to learn that balance because I didn't want to break them. You know, and scream and holler and, you know, you can't do that. Ah, you can't do that even with teenagers because they bite back now. And so it's a balance. Like I am learning them all over again. Like it's really 13 and 15 is rough because you want them to do right. But you also know that they're going to touch the hot stove anyway and they're going to. Throw the juice across the room. They're going to do those things anyway. You anticipate it, and then you try to figure out what's the best way to address it. Because, I mean, they don't have their emotions intact at all as teenagers. Like, at all. At all. I'm just like, whose kid is this?
Right? Who are you? I see
right.
that a lot.
Who are you?
Sometimes it's like, just wait till they like 26. I know.
I have an older, like my son is going to be 21 and he understands some things that I didn't think he would get. He's also welcoming his first baby. So I'm getting to be a grandmother very soon. And he looked at me and he was just like, I remember arguing my 6-year-old sister down. He was 12. And he would just be like, and I'm just like, now, you know, he understands, I was losing. Why am I fighting with my 6-year-old sister? What am I doing? So I think he had to figure some things out, too. But what I realize is that they do come down. They come back. Mm-hmm. They are insane for a while. And then they mellow out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of folks tell me that, you know, the teenagers, like you said, it's just, I try to think, I'm like, science, hormones, their brains aren't fully developed. This is what they do. They do have to experiment. That's how they figure out their way in the world. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily know how to process emotions. They have a lot of strong emotions and feelings that they don't know how to really process well just yet. In the moment, as a mom, I'm not thinking that. Right. I'm like, why can't you get ready? Every day we have the same conversation about getting to school on time. And I wish, sometimes I'm like, you know, it was way easier when you were younger because I would just get you going. But now that you're, you know, you're an independent young man who wants his afro to look a certain way and needs his kicks to be another way, I have to wait for it to look the right way before we could leave the house. And
it's too much.
Some days I'm like, I'm Caribbean. We could go back home.
Oh, that, yeah, that part.
Yeah.
We could go back home.
We could culturally be a little bit different than what we have.
Correct.
You know, I don't know if they have CPS up in the Caribbean. But
let your grandparents. Because you think I could talk to my mom the way you tell me, Mom?
It's so different. I think having to raise our kids the way we have to now is drastically different than when we were raised. Like, I don't ever remember being able to, like, fix my mouth at all to do anything.
Or a face, honey.
Or a
you
face.
Couldn't even, you can't even look like
I would
upset.
Get, like, my mother would chase me around the house.
Lean up real quick. Like,
my mother just had to look at me one way. I'm like, I know I'm in trouble. The moment we get home,
now, can't be gentle all the time.
You kind of have to change it as...
And it has to be firm because, like, so you know, like, teenagers are only replicas of you. And they're only showing you who you are, really. But they have to figure out that it's a time and a place for it. So, of course, you are trying to figure that out. But I try not to take it personally, but I realize that it's real easy to do because the eye rolling and all of that stuff don't jive with me too well.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, who are you talking
to? And culturally, it's hard because they see so much online. And I think also, I mean, I do want to ask a question about, like, performative moms, social media moms. Because that's a trend now, too. And I don't know if you've seen this, Dr. Sosa, but, like, women getting their makeup done for labor. Have you seen that? That's a thing.
What?
Oh, yeah, doing full-on hair makeup decked out for labor because they want to do their vlogs or whatever videos. But there's this culture now with moms of, like, trying to show that, like, I can look like this and take my kid to 50 million activities. And it seems to me that the village is not there anymore that it used to be of, you know, it's so regimented and type A.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel like you see the same things with moms that they're trying to fit into this mold from social media?
Yes, and burning themselves out trying. Yeah. They're burning themselves at both ends. Oh, I got to do this, and I got to go here, and I got to do that. And for what? Because your baby don't have no manners. Like, start there. It's like, stay at home, work on that stuff.
Like, first training
do
is
not,
home training.
Yeah, don't take them everywhere. Work on that stuff at home. Yeah. You know, like, there's some things that you probably should work on. And, I mean, the performative mom is only burning her kid out, too, because they don't want to do all that either.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired. They're tired.
Yeah,
pick one activity.
To talk about, too, the consent with kids on social media who are part of that story, too. You know, and when they become adults, did they want their entire childhood recorded and sort of under the public guise? I don't know. The performative mom, I feel like it's hustle culture in another form, right? There's always something out there telling us you got to do more. You have a job, but you also need a side hustle too. And now the other hustle is, as a parent, you have to be perfect and your kids have to do all these things and be in all these sports, activities, whatnot, while I'm also taking care of the home. Like, come on.
Match your outfits.
Yeah. It's like, but why? Why? Who sets that standard and tells us that is how parenting is, that's what motherhood is. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it just puts so much pressure on the woman. Mm-hmm. What's dad doing in that time?
Yeah.
And being fun.
He's fun dad. He may say yes or no. Mm-hmm. But is he doing all those things? And we know just naturally in any household, in most households, again, not generalizing, that women do take on the bigger brunt, right? The kids may come to you more right? I would always be like, don't you have a father? Can't you go? Can't you go ask him? Why are you asking?
Not for the feelings and stuff.
Yeah. You know, you're already asked often. If the kid is hurt, they're coming to snuggle with you.
Yep.
But then you're making dinner. You're doing this. You're doing that. Plus, you have to be the perfect Instagram mom.
It's too much.
Too much. Not take we just on need that to be.
But I'm also kind of like, well, who's watching your kids when you on here
doing all these
getting ready
things
for your photo like shoots? Yeah. Like, what is happening with the children when that? Yeah. It's. I think we just live in such a bizarre world in terms of like being a mother that it's exacerbated this idea of what a mother
and
is.
Perfection.
And perfection. And just trying to be something that you're not. It's like it's almost like if you discipline your kids, like everyone's like afraid. Like I'm afraid to discipline my kids. I don't want to look like a bad mom. And it's like this concept of like what is a bad mom? Because I don't think a good one is an Instagram one or a Facebook mom. Like I don't care how many pictures you post with your kids. That doesn't make me think that you're a good parent. And we've seen this with like moms and, you know, different celebrities or reality show moms where they end up like doing crazy things to their kids or they're like wild domestic, you know, violence issues at home, but their pictures are like perfect.
Yeah.
Because they found out very early that you can skew the story.
The algorithm.
You can look perfect and do all this other stuff and then no one's really checking you at home. Because who's coming to your house and asking if you're doing all of this stuff? Like, I mean, honestly, it's so easy to lie to the public because, I mean, first of all, we're the laughing stock of the planet. So social media is running the country. But, I mean, pictures have been telling stories even if they haven't been true. Stories are told by what you can see. And I think that's what people are doing now. Like, just let's just pretend that we have this perfect family.
But I also think, you know, if we step out and think systemically, right? So this gig culture, social media exists. A lot of people do use social media to make money. They just have to. And what drives the algorithm, right? Stuff like that. Either it's outrage or it's the perfect life that everybody, you know, is so well curated and so aesthetically pleasing that everybody aspires to. And they sort of get wedged into having to perform this over and over in order to get the views and the likes and then pull in that money from wherever. And the algorithm feeds it, unfortunately. And it's, we're just kind of getting into this really fake presentation of everything. And what is reality at all?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to have some shift to where, you know, AI somehow gets incorporated. And even that is absolutely, you know,
so
unreal.
It's so messy.
I don't know. I think, you know, the individual, could themselves try to sort of perform. But I also think if they're using it as an income and as a career, they're forced to now play along in order to make money. And that's where we got to get back to, okay, why does the algorithm even work that way?
And why do we feel like we need to uphold that?
Yeah.
Like, why can't there be a different way? Now, I will say this. There's, you know, there's some moms that come out and they're, like, very honest. Have y'all ever been honest about the idea of, like, I don't necessarily know. It's like, I don't like being a mom. Or maybe in those moments, I don't like being a mom. But is there, do you feel like there's honesty that comes out from moms of, like, the like, not trying to be picture perfect, but this is really difficult. This is hard.
Yes.
And this is not what I expected. You know, like, this is more to juggle than I thought it would be.
I would definitely say yes because, I mean, and I've grown more comfortable being honest because I really just don't know what I'm doing all the time. And I know that people are looking at me all the time about whatever. I was a great mom when they were little. I have no idea who these humans are in my house. And I think getting to know them, there's been some crash out moments. I'm like, this is nuts. Like, whose idea was this? And they'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm leaving the house. What do you mean? I'm not really leaving the house. However, y'all making me want to leave the house because y'all are nuts. But, you know, like this is the part where I realize, especially doing things completely different than, you know, like say my past folks, I'm trying to do something different. I'm raising them to be more aware. I'm raising them to think and be critical, which also means they're going to have opinions. They're going to say stuff.
They'll challenge
and
us.
It's going to challenge stuff that I've actually taught them. You know what I mean? Like, I raised them very differently than I raised them now. So it's like there's a lot of question marks I have to like really put my big girl panties on and say, listen, this is not all it's cracked up to be, but they are growing to be fantastic humans.
They are great. They are great. I can attest. Yeah.
Thank you. But they really will challenge everything, yeah. Literally everything, especially Naila. My daughter.
It's in the name. It's like we can't help it. Well, when we come back, we're going to connect back on that work-life balance. Is there a difference between being a boy mom and a girl mom?
Blessings.
All the things, you know. And Charles is over here like, I'm not engaging in this conversation at all.
I had some thoughts.
Okay. Charles, we want to hear the thoughts when we come back.
When we come back. Yeah.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm here with Dr. Sosa and Shayna. We have been chilling and talking about everything mom. Mother's Day is this weekend, and I'm excited. I know you all are excited, even though, you know, depending on when the kids, how old they are, whether we get our flowers or not, quite literally. We'll see. But Charles was real quiet last time, you know, our last segment. So, Charles, you got something to say.
I was taught at a young age, especially when you have a group of black women sitting there talking, you do not talk. You wait till you are given the opportunity to speak. Yep.
Yes.
But no, I've enjoyed this conversation so far. I mean, it's really a lot, and I commend y'all for being the pillars of y'all family. But one of the things that just kept standing out to me is that pressure to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And obviously y'all were talking about the role social media plays. I always say that social media is a gift and a curse, because it is kind of the driving force in our world, but it also has a negative thing, because now everybody's trying to be the next influencer, or they're trying to live up to the what they're seeing in there. And that's where the social media moms come into play, where they're all like trying to be this picture perfect mom. And then those are the ones that I kind of worry about the most, mm-hmm. because they're trying to uphold this image. And then that takes that mental toll that y'all were talking about. So it's kind of like, you know, I think we collectively know where it comes from, but like, why? Like, that's the big question. Yeah. It's like, why? Why is it that you, like, not all mothers are like this, but why is it that some mothers are so fixated on that notoriety opposed to just being a mother?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
sometimes I think it's like that dream deferred. I don't know if y'all think about that. Like, I have this thing, it's like a mom in some ways that hasn't really like lived up to what they wanted their life to be. So it's like they live through their children. And then when they, you know, then it's like social media gives me a way to do that. Like I can be the mm-hmm. mom on social media mm-hmm. to figure that out.
Yeah. They end up with big broken hearts, though, because you haven't actually raised your child. You haven't shown them who you are. This is all a performance. By the time they get to, you know, actually figure out who you are, you're going to be disappointed because you're doing this for what reason? And then your child ain't going to know who you are either. So it's like, you know, I think it's because we are naturally so competitive as a mm-hmm. as a humans, you know, like as humans, we're so competitive. Oh, well, I could do this better than you. I am perfectly okay being a messy mom. I am all right with it. I will tell you I don't know. I will call somebody and ask and vent about my children. So, like, for me, I think the best part is being able to influence in the other way. Like, let's not be performative mothers. Let's try to be more connected with our children, knowing who they are and parenting the person who's in front of you, because that's who you're raising, you mm-hmm. know. It's not an illusion. They're going to grow up one day. Yeah. So I see it and I try to knock it out the way. Like, please don't do that. Please, because you're harming your kids because you don't even know them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, making them do stuff.
How do y'all figure out? Okay, I think out of the three of us, four or two, because, you know, Charles is a dad, so, you know, not excluding dads in this, but we all have very different lifestyles compared to the average 9-to-5 person. So you have motherhood, that's a 24-hour job, and then the jobs that you all have is actually, like, very much whenever something happens. Right, because you don't know when a woman needs surgery. You don't know, like, if you're on call for something, you don't know when a baby's coming, and it could be hours before the baby actually comes or before, you know, you can get someone in that's, like, coming in for some kind of an emergency surgery. How do y'all manage, like, your work life and also having to be a mom without that mom guilt? Or do you have mom guilt sometimes?
I have mom guilt sometimes because I have to leave the kids. Sometimes in the middle of the night, depending on, like, when the babies are born. And I would have pretty much been nursing that mom all day. So I might be on the phone all day, too. So I'm talking to the mom, you know, checking, you know, to see where she is in her process. So I don't always have the capacity to be there with my children. They are older. Means nothing, though. Because they really actually
yeah,
still...
Yeah, that's true. That's a myth that if they're older, yeah. then like, they don't, you know,
they still are right
around
by my
much.
Neck. literally right here, especially that little girl of mine. But I do try to educate them in between, and I'm very thankful that they're not little and that I don't leave them at home, you know, at home by themselves. But it's really, it's tough because I am working. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't necessarily understand that. I'm at home, I'll shut the door, I'll, you know, be handling business and talking and stuff to the mothers. And it does make them feel a little shorted sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we do talk about that. I spend a lot of time on Saturdays and Sundays with them. Mm-hmm. But if a mom comes and needs me on a Saturday, I'm probably still going to go.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, it happened.
Yeah.
Within the time that we've been talking.
Yeah.
Like, we've got new babies right now. Yeah. So, yeah. I just kind of try to talk to them a little bit more.
Yeah. I've, you know, honestly been very fortunate. I have a little, quite emotionally intelligent son. I also ask him where he came from, who I think all he's known. He was born while I was in training. Mm. I still had 2 more years to go. So all he's known is a mom who works
yeah.
a lot. And so that's normal for him. He's an only child. So I will say there's, you know, he gets all of my attention when there
yeah,
is,
yeah.
when I'm not at work. So maybe that sort of balances out. But even now, he sort of knows, you know, if I have, you know, I have surgery all day. Why are you late? I have surgery. It's funny if he tells a teacher that, they're like, oh, is your mom okay? He's like, no, she's a surgeon. But it's totally normal for him. And we have what we call QT with my QT, quality time with him.
Oh, that's cute.
So he has his special quality time. And we're pretty close, but I think he understands that the hard work is just part of it, and it's what you have to do in this field. I think he also sees when we do go out in the community and somebody mm-hmm. says, hi, Dr. Sosa, you delivered my baby, or yay. You did this. Once he got old enough to see those things, he then appreciated, okay, while you're gone, you're helping people. Mm-hmm. And I think he does feel proud that his mom helps folks in the community. And as a result, it's okay. There may be a few times where he's like, oh, you got to go again. But now that he's 11 and older, I feel that he just understands that it comes with the territory, but he still gets mom when work is in there. I will also admit that I have changed my job, mm-hmm. As you know, to help to be there for him more.
Yeah.
Where, you know, at some point I realized I could not be up all night all the time.
Oh, yeah, that
go
OB
on
schedule
a nights and weekends.
For people that don't know,
yeah,
you can have a baby at 1 a.m., 2 p.m., 5, yeah, 6 p.m.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Yikes. And yeah, I definitely have to give a shout out to my job. If I can, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask you too. Yeah, but for sure.
But I have been fortunate to be able to change jobs where it does allow me to be a more present mom while still being the physician that I want to be for my patients.
Well, I actually do want to ask you about that because we get so caught up in like the mothering of the biological children. You know, do you see that women struggle with the identity of like going into menopause? They have adult children. Absolutely. They no longer have that kind of identity as a mom. And it's like, and I'm kind of stuck with this body that has all these hormones.
All these
and there's
changes,
nothing that's yeah. coming out of it. You know?
Yeah. Right. And I constantly don't want to put the blame on the individual. It is mm-hmm. societal too, right? We think of our, we see women as mom. I knew that my name is not Jalise. I am Elian's mom.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what people see you as. When people tell you hello, they're like, how are the kids? How's this? Like,
right. Yeah,
always,
no one cares
right?
about how you're doing. It's like,
yeah.
oh, how are the kids?
Yeah, like our entire identities, not just on our own, but society sees you as a parent. And you're right. Once and even within OBGYN as a specialty, women's health, there's so much focus on obstetrics. I say
yes,
it all the time.
Yeah.
The OB is big and bold and it's necessary, but the GYN falls to the wayside.
Oh, yeah, people have no yeah. idea about anything
yeah.
that happens. Like,
people think they don't need to see you.
This, so like, they don't think
people
that
are
they,
like, I'm not yeah. having kids anymore. I don't need to see you anymore. I'm like, no.
No, you better get swabbed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this is part of my current mission and what we do at our clinics now, we're actually having a big talk on May 15th on menopause and life after children. So our collaborative is about women's health after birth because you matter as an individual, your mental health, your physical health, these hormonal changes that occur in menopause. And it really is a reframing of who I am, what is my identity, who am I when I'm not a mother, when I'm not a partner, mm-hmm. when I'm not my profession, who is that person, what does she want, what are her desires, what are her new goals mm-hmm. that exist, and it's a very necessary conversation we need to have and an ongoing one, because as we in that time frame, a lot is happening too, right? So the children are older, but then your parents may be older.
Right.
So you may be caring for the parent too. For many career women, this may be where they're entering into leadership and doing big things career-wise. So you still have all these tugs that are occurring. And then your body decides to be like, oh, we're doing something different now. And we do not talk about that enough at all.
It's crazy. I don't even think we do it as children because I just mm-mm. remember, and I don't know if you can think about this too, Charles, with your own mom, but I know what my mom was going through menopause. She was like rolling down the windows and stuff. Like, I didn't know what, I was
yep.
like, what
What's
are
happening?
You doing? It's yeah. negative yep. 5 degrees outside. You got these windows, but it's just not mm-hmm. conversations I feel like our moms have with us, or like if they said it, it was kind of like in jest, you know.
Right. She might have said it to me, and I'm the son, and I'm just like,
What are you talking about?
Okay, like, I don't
Why you
know.
Not, Mom?
You want me to get a bucket of ice for you? Like, what do you, like, I don't know what
yeah,
you
yeah.
expect
yeah.
from me, but I was raised by nothing but women, so I knew that, like, when this happened, they were kind of like, just... It's okay.
Right. It's just
going through.
Yeah,
you know?
it's yeah.
But I actually don't think that we teach people, like, not even just like women. I don't think we teach people, period.
General,
like, I don't think
yeah.
that we teach our kids mm-hmm. what's going on with us, yeah. with our bodies. I don't think we teach each other. I don't think a lot of women know
yeah.
at all what's happening. And so it does leave people like me and Charles and like our moms are going through stuff. You're like, well, she's wilding right now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, crashing out. It's like, you grow up, like, crashing out, right? Like, you don't understand the hormones. You just know that your mom might be short with you or, like, oh, she doesn't want to be bothered. But
yeah.
you really don't understand how much the woman's body goes
right.
through.
It yeah, there's such a significant change hormonally. Things she has no control over. She's trying to grapple with, too, while still juggling life and its responsibilities.
Yes.
Yeah. But seriously, you know, the memory loss is a very real thing that comes with menopause. Mm. Can you imagine, like, getting to that point in your career where you're the boss, but now you're, like, forgetting things? You know, that's
right, yeah.
That's stressful in and of itself. You know, then they develop anxiety as a result. Like, all these things happen. All these completely normal biochemical things happen that then have a real effect on your life. Yeah, we need to talk about it more.
Yeah.
We absolutely need to talk about it more.
I agree, because there are certain things I'm just like, you know, I just with, because, you know, I'm like, geriatric advanced maternal health. So I have
a geriatric.
So I have, you know, friends that are like in menopause while also like having children later, or and it's just it's a lot going on, and we just have no clue about what any of it really means. So I think educating ourselves has
come to the
be
talk it. May 15th.
Come May 15th. May 15th
but
come
we
to
really
want to.
We actually really want to have this conversation continuously. Uh-huh. And so Erie County, Kaleida Health, UB, we're all coming together to really have events, programs, listen to women because of the very thing you're talking about. We really need to have this conversation, particularly in our city, in our county, and we're doing it.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. So
I might have to come because
come on.
Listen, my toe is in there right now. Yeah. Perimenopause, is
women and moms, and all the things we go through. Yeah. Well, we could totally have a whole nother episode, but it's like crazy how fast this just went already. I want both of you to share how we can get connected with you all and tell us all the things that are getting ready to happen. It's Mother's Day weekend, but you know, anything that's getting ready to come. I know there's also some things happening in July as well. So please share those things with us.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, currently, you can find us at ourvillagelegacy.net.org.
.com.
And right now we are in our second cohort for Village Legacy. We have our next group of doulas will be graduating on June 24th with a mother blessing that they will be welcomed at on July 10th. Very excited about this. So they will be welcomed as our new legacy keepers for the mothers that will be having babies in the summer.
Yay.
Very nice. Very nice.
Including right here.
July 4th?
July 4th.
Oh, we have to
I know. Dr. Dodd and I, we praying the week
this
before, girl.
Juneteenth
girls.
Baby for sure.
Juneteenth. Charles says Juneteenth.
Juneteenth baby.
Yeah. What am I saying again? I am...
May 15th?
Yes. May 15th. Menopause and the Buffalo Woman. I don't know what camera I'm looking at. Menopause and the Buffalo Woman at the Buffalo Museum of Science. If you are a woman, if you're a man, you could come too. But this is a conversation for us women. It was born out of conversations like this. I'm in book club. We're all like, oh, it's hot. Or in the office, a patient says, you know what? I think I'm having a hot flash. I don't really know. My mom doesn't talk about it. Like, we need to have these conversations in the open. We need to think about ourselves as women after childbirth. And so please come out and just look out for all the other events. I am an OBGYN, like we said. I am the medical director for the Kaleida Health Golisano Children's Hospital of Buffalo OBGYN Centers. Say that twice.
So I'll be delivering.
Yes. Niagara Street OBGYN and Kensington OBGYN, where women's health is what we do. You hear Children's Hospital, but the women are there. And we love taking care of women, whether you're pregnant or you need surgery or you need an annual pap smear. We're here.
And they have great, great physicians, practitioners. I love it there. Dr.
Thank
Johnson,
you, Nayla.
Shout out to my
shout out to Dr. Latrice Johnson.
It's my girl. Well, that's our episode of Group Chat. Happy Mother's Day. And Charles, take it away. Tell them what they have to do.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe right here. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I love you, Mom. And I appreciate y'all for being here.